There is nothing wrong with your media player. Do not attempt to adjust the settings. I am now controlling the transmission. I control the recording and the editing. I can delude you with 1,000 vulgarities, or expand one mindfuck into crystal clarity and beyond. I can shape your listening experience into anything my imagination can conceive. I will control all that you think and hear. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the deepest inner mind to This Week in Geek's Outer Limits. Please stand by.
You are listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Nerd News Network. I am your host with the most, and I'm back, Mike the Birdman Dub, but I'm not alone as I trek through the news, topics, and stuff that's important, not important, or just plain geeky to you, me, and all those that you hold dear. I'm joined with
Mr. Christopher.
Alex the producer.
That's right. I got a feeling. I've got some energy this show. Can you feel it in the room? Don't know why.
Somebody gave you a poke in the bum.
Somebody gave me a poke in the butt. But that's okay. I am on more G Fuel than you could possibly imagine. God, I wish they sponsored this show, considering how many of those I drink a day. But that's neither here nor there. Once again, we are without GeekCastRadio.com's TFG1. Mike, he is still in Chicago doing Chicago things, like eating random deep dish pizza and basically going around Chi-Town enjoying the lovely windy city such as it is.
That's enjoying,
very nice city, actually.
Enjoying the wind, I'm sure.
Now, it's too bad he's not a hockey fan, because you can go see the Chicago Blackhawks. What's the Chicago football? Chicago Bears, I think?
I don't know.
Wait, I don't follow sports.
The Bears. Yeah.
That's all I know it from. Oh, and the Blues Brothers.
And was it the Cubs?
And the Cubs, yes.
Oh, yes.
And there's like a famous cheeseburger restaurant there that's under a bridge or something.
What is it, like a troll?
A troll cheeseburger.
Weird. I remember seeing it on like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or something. Somebody probably knows what I'm talking about.
All I know about Chicago is Al Capone and corruption. And the corruption part could be up to modern day.
Chicago, for me, is home of my former employer. Contributing site, Channel Awesome. So that guy with the glasses and pizza. That's mostly. Oh, and it's Watch not,
oh,
Dogs.
The first oh, and
Watch
don't Dogs get me started. There. It's not pizza. It's shepherd's pie with pizza flavoring.
Yeah, fair enough. I've had Chicago style deep dish once when I was in Calgary many, many moons ago.
It's lazy lasagna.
It was very weird to have that many layers of pizza because it wasn't bad.
But it's not pizza.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's something about
it was something.
No, you know what it is? It's something about if you grow up anywhere in Ontario, I don't know about the rest of Canada, they can fuck right off.
But that's how much we love you
here. I don't care about the rest of Canada, but you grow up here, you eat pizza the New York style. That's just it.
you come close to New York style.
No, we have our style all of our own. The dough tastes different. The sauce tastes different. But it's the traditional thickness, texture, size of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the definitive, quote-unquote, Ontario pizza. I know I'm going to get some hate mail for saying it, but it's true. It's pizza pizza.
No, it's not. That's American fast food. That's like Little Caesars.
It's not an American. Okay, pizza pizza was founded in Toronto back in
No, it's an American fast food style pizza.
Yeah, but think about it. You can find that anywhere in Ontario.
And it's kind of garbage compared to like really good independent places.
Yeah.
Yeah, like little like, shops.
I like to go to a place where I can get a slice, like two slices and a pop for like $4.
And there are some places here in Guelph that are really good.
Yeah, like when I think of it, like I would say the average, and I mean I've had pizza in the States. We're gonna get hate for this, but I honestly think that our cheap pizza tastes better than the cheap pizza in the States, unless you get something really good.
It depends on where you go. Like I don't mind some Papa John's every now and again.
But I'm saying that's fast food style chain. That's not.
Yeah, it varies.
Like I would say the mom and pop shops on average are better for the price up here.
There comes times that I just really want that typical New York greasy slice of pepperoni pizza. Like you look at each individual pepperoni and it's got a little pool
of grease,
sitting in the middle. I want that sometimes.
All around here that do that similarly. Like
Victoria's.
Here in Kitchener, there's you want a greasy, really cheap slice. Traditionally, you went to Twice the Deal or had other names, but they've changed names over the years. There's a franchise.
Like got two for one sort of thing?
Yeah, it was a 3-for-1 pizza at one point. And like it used to be two slices and a pop for $2.25.
I remember those days. Man.
So like you go there and you get your dollar slice and you know it's not good for you.
Oh God, no.
But
God,
and you know like when they hand you the bag of pizza and if you accidentally put anything on top of that and lift your hand up and it's just
See-through?
The bag is see-through and it's a brown bag, which is not possible. Like it's defied physics to do this. That is good, cheap shit pizza.
Some of the best cheap shit pizza I ever had, I was at PAX East probably 2013, maybe 14, and they have pizza places that will deliver at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That is good.
It was amazing.
Lord.
It was awesome. I'm sitting in this hotel lobby with Pikachu, half of the cast of Street Fighter, and all these other random cartoon characters, and we just order in pizza. Just sitting in the lobby of this fancy-ass hotel, Adam Sessler comes strutting in from X-Play, and he's like, "Good morning!" And we're all just sitting there eating cheap, greasy-as-fuck pizza.
Well, I mean, like that's talking about Twice the Deal, Fridays and Saturdays, they're open until 3 or 3:30 in the morning.
And it's nothing but college kids.
Well, no, here's the thing. Their location is nowhere near the college or universities. They're the only thing open at 2 in the morning on a Friday within, like, a 4-mile area.
You know what's amazing? We've started off this entire nerd news. We've been talking for about 5-6 minutes about pizza.
Well, I have no problem with that because pizza. That's really the only answer.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Which kind of sucks for me because I'm now in my second week of my weight loss surgery prep and I'm starting to wean off certain foods. I don't see a whole lot of deep dish pizza in my future.
I would say honestly, deep dish is off the plate permanently after that because it just...
It's way too much.
Well, it's way too much. You'll get way too full, way too quick, and it's a waste of money for you.
Yeah, it's a waste of calories.
Like
too.
Honestly, if you're after weight loss surgery, like I can have a couple slices now that I'm
almost a year out.
Well, I'm 7-8 months out.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I push it, I can have 3 or 4. But you have the small slices. We're not talking like you go to the store, you buy slices,
the honking.
Yeah, like get a medium pizza and have a few slices. I can have a few of those.
Yeah.
Whereas like before, like. No joke, I could put away two of those medium boxes from Little Caesars, and you know, I'd be full as hell, but
you could do it.
I could put that away and be like, in 2 hours, be like, oh, I'm going to have a snack now. So, like, and there was 3,000, there was 3,500 calories in two pizzas. So now it's like I have a couple slices, and I'm like, wow, I'm really full. But that's beside the point. It's if I'm going to get not like a cheap, shitty pizza, if I'm going to get something that's like fast foody style, I'm going to go to Domino's. And I'm going to get the crispy thin crust where it's like on a cracker because it's easier to digest and I can have a few slices and I'm not filling myself with bread and empty calories. So
I found out a couple weekends ago we had a huge Dungeons & Dragons weekend. My friend Dave Twig alumni, David Double D Dennis came up and he had the most brilliant pizza topping. It was double cheese, provolone, cheddar on the cracker thin crust
yep.
with Alfredo sauce.
The Alfredo sauce I wasn't a fan of, but I did like the fact that he gave me slices for free. So
free food always tastes better.
So Double D, I love it when you give me free stuff.
It was a good time. So I guess we should finally get around to talking about the news and the geekery that has happened this past week. And there's been a lot of things. I guess we could start things off with the sad news. And it feels like every twig for the last couple months has started off with the obits, which is sad. We lost actor Harry Dean Stanton at the age of 91, I believe.
Who looked like every old farmer I see on the highway.
I remember him from Alien as the guy who got picked off alone looking for Jonesy the Cat. I'm pretty sure he was in Down Periscope as one of the engineers. You said he was in Twin Peaks, I believe.
Yeah, I never saw it. Repo Man, he was the main guy with Emilio Estevez.
And I remember, I'm trying to think, what else was he in?
Was it Avengers or Thor?
Avengers, yeah, where he gives Mark Ruffalo pants.
That's what
he's like, "Do you need pants, young man? You fell out of the sky." And then the other person we lost is Bobby the Brain Heenan from WWE, the manager that probably was one of the greatest heels of all time.
There have been other managers before and after. Like, and for anybody that's been watching or getting into wrestling, like myself recently, you had heard of like the Grand Wizard and all these people, but this was a guy that probably influenced the managers really aren't a big thing in the mainstream anymore. You get like one or two. There's like maybe...
No one like Paul Heyman.
Like, Paul Heyman is the...
You can argue Titus Brand now, but...
No, it's not the same. That's a wrestler representing, but he's still technically a wrestler, and they have nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
But a true manager, you've got Heyman from that last guard of people that came in that were influenced by...
Yeah.
You know, by Heenan. And unless they've moved up yet on NXT, you've got Paul Ellering, the guy that was the manager for the Road Warriors years ago. He's back... training new tag teams and helping them come up. So you've got, but again, these are old guard guys that have been in for 30 years. There really aren't any new managers of any consequence. Lana would be the closest thing.
Yeah.
But
I miss her as a manager. I don't like her as a
competitor.
But
this is the guy that influenced the last 30 years of manage. Like he was the guy. He was the color commentator that ripped people to shreds.
Yeah, and he stayed active as long as he possibly could.
Yeah, and then I did see when he passed away and people were tweeting things out, there was a picture of him with Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley, and oh boy, he must have had cancer or something else because he was like a third of the weight he was when we saw pictures of him before. This did not look, he didn't look anything like at all. I wouldn't have been able to pick the guy out. Like, it would have been like, who's that? Is that his grandpa?
Yeah.
So this was probably a long time coming.
But yeah, he did have a fantastic career. I think he passed away at 73.
He's pretty
72,
young.
Something like that.
He was in his early 70s.
Yeah, but he did contribute a fantastic amount to the world of the WWE and WWF.
And WCW and basically everything in the last 30 years that influenced the way influenced modern wrestling.
Yeah, so... Thank you for your contributions, The Brain and Harry Dean Stanton. Your work will be missed, but you are immortalized in all sorts of other places. So, now that we have the obituaries out of the way, what do we want to talk about this week? We got a lot of stuff. We had a Nintendo Direct this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for that because I'm the Switch user of the group here.
I'm starting to get into it again.
I enjoy my Switch. I still only
have
Zelda.
A Switch?
Yeah.
All three of us have Switches now?
Friend codes need to be exchanged at this point, really soon.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. I also need more games. That's kind of my drawback right now. I still only have Zelda, so I need
a
larger library.
Mario Kart right now.
Yeah, I've got Rayman, Zelda, Tetris. My brother has all the other games. So what else do I have? Zelda, Tetris.
Bomberman?
No, I sold that to him.
You sold Splatoon.
I sold Splatoon because Mario Kart. I think I might have one more. I think I have four games. Oh, I have a baseball game. The
RBI or whatever.
Yeah, RBI. So yeah, I've got enough for now. But yeah, it's. Oh, and I got a bazillion digital games because they've got.
See, that's what I really. I love digital games. In fact, we actually have a sort of a mini impression we'll talk about Bandai later
on
in the show.
Bit. But just with Nintendo, the one thing is you buy the system, and then you basically have to pay $100 for a 200 gig SD card, Otherwise, you're not going to be able to really store games. In fact, I looked at, I believe it was, it wasn't Splatoon, it was maybe, oh, it was the NBA game coming out, which has a $200 digital version for the Switch.
Oh my. What?
Which is basically in-game currency for buying crap.
Yeah, here.
Oh God.
Basically, yeah. God's team.
Well, they've, it says right on it, because it's 24 gigs or something to download. Because it wasn't really optimized for Switch, it's just the same as it is on every other system. It says you must have an SD card. You cannot, like, if you don't have an SD card in the system, it won't let you buy it.
Well, at least it blocks you that way.
Well, yeah, but it's like, so you can buy this $200 game if you also buy a $100 memory card to play it.
Oh boy!
Let's get another Switch.
I'm excited.
Yeah, or you could just wait 6 months and get it on the PS4 or Xbox for $5, like every other sports title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very few sports titles I find retain the value. The odd ones that do...
Are not numbered.
Well, you could argue stuff like Gran Turismo and Forza.
Those are racing titles. They're usually viewed differently.
Yeah, they're not...
Okay, that's fair.
They're not typically the same incremental or episodic sort of style that a lot of sports games have.
See, I kind of wish we had our friend Lee Emperor Wayne Johnson down here. He's a manager at a GameStop, might have a little bit more insight for us on this, because I'd be very curious to see how they assign trade values and all that stuff when they bought them out.
I worked for them years ago, and not much has changed. It's after the first year, it drops to like 20% of the cost of the game, and then at the second year, they don't take trades at all.
I remember, I used to get a lot of my games pretty much like a few weeks beforehand, so I could trade in a game literally the day of release or the day after release, and I used to do that with like some of the sports titles I get, and even then I'd get garbage trade credit.
Oh, like short of it being, if it's a specialty title, like let's say there's a new,
like a
Mutant League Hockey, or if it's something like Blood Bowl wasn't a good example, but like, if it's a title that isn't a numbered title, isn't a yearly title, isn't part of a franchise, it's just like a one-off or a specialty. Like, I keep thinking like Mutant League Hockey. I think it's like $100 to get a cart of it on the Sega Genesis, where they can't give away NHL 95. Like it's like you buy an old Genesis system or a clone, and they're like, here, have four copies of NHL 95 and 6. No, I don't want it.
Yeah, but then games like NBA Jam and NBA Jam TE,
NBA Jam comes out with a game every, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, and it's such a special style of sports game. It's not just a regular sports game. There's more to it, so it becomes more entertaining
like an exclusive to a certain console. Like, I know that the Bigs and the Show
are exclusive to the PlayStation.
Yeah, and they're made by them, and they're the only really high-end...
I forgot about the Bigs.
Well, they had two of them. I wish they made another one, but like the Show, if you look, even 3 or 4 years out, the game that's 3 or 4 years old still gets to about $10 to $20 to buy it used, because it's only available on one system.
And I can't think of any baseball titles that are available for Xbox.
RBI. So you've got an arcadey style game,
but is it officially licensed teams though? Okay.
Yes.
And like kind of player rosters too,
full thing, and they update it.
Okay, that's cool then.
So you can pay like $30 and get that, and it's a very arcadey, very like the graphics aren't super detailed, but it's still.
But it's not sim like the Show,
not at all,
or NHL.
It's not. It's basically it's Need for Speed versus Gran Turismo.
Okay, that's fair.
So you get a different experience, but that's available on the Switch too.
Yeah.
So those games, they drop like next year. That game will be like $5.
Yeah.
But the Show will be $40.
That's nuts. I've never looked, so I really couldn't agree or disagree with you on that in terms of how much those games are worth.
I was going to say, getting to the actual story is Nintendo dropped the Nintendo Direct. I watched it. I think I rewatched it with you.
Yeah. I was like, all right, some of this stuff actually does look pretty cool. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to being a new Switch owner, so to speak.
Splatoon, don't give two craps. What else was they?
I'm a big fan of Splatoon. I'm hoping to see it become more competitive.
I heard Splatoon has a huge following in Japan. It's the second most attached game in the Switch player base.
Really?
Yeah. It's only behind Zelda. It's number two.
Well, and they showed off like some Zelda amiibos. Sure, like they showed off some basic stuff, and then they got into showing off some really cool stuff. Octopath Traveler, which is
that looks pretty neat.
Dumb name. They're gonna have. It's a working title. They're gonna have to change it. It'll be like Final Fantasy something or other, or it'll be maybe it'll be the new Bravely. It sounds more like a Romancing Saga game, where you have eight different paths you can choose. It's very similar to that Saga series.
To me, it reminded me a lot of Final Fantasy Tactics. It's basically jobs,
but with the battle system of Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, so I'm okay with this. It does look pretty cool, actually. So, and it's not often that an RPG gets my attention.
Oh,
unless it's Mass Effect.
I chubbed up real hard.
Charming.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. It was
full on rage.
My Octopath Travel.
It was a full, you know, blue vein throbbing. Lost. I was getting dizzy because all the blood went to my dick, raging hard on.
I wish you folks could see my face. I'm just.
It was that good.
Next on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
If I wasn't sitting, I would have fainted.
Wow.
Well, I'm off my game now.
Yeah, I'm a little thrown off. I'm not going to lie here. I don't know. I mean, I like Nintendo. I liked most of what I saw out of the Nintendo Direct. I see people get really excited for a lot of the new games. I'd say, if anything, I'm looking forward to is the Mario Party. The 100 one.
That's not even on the Switch. That's on the 3DS.
That's the thing. My thing is the portable gaming. Like, I'm really excited for anything 3DS.
And they showed off. They talked about how there's going to be a
couple of titles. Anyway.
There's a new, was it Shin Megami Tensei that's coming out on it, or another RPG in that vein of I think first person dungeon crawly. There's
although Xeno Chronicles 2 did look kind
of
cool.
That one. It got me. It made me think of like Tales of Symphonia or a lot of the late 90s RPGs.
It looks like Escaflowne to me.
With the melodramatic, over-the-top anime stuff.
And the big giant robot people or stuff and sky shit. And I don't know. The Xenoblade Chronicles games have never been my big thing. Like, I actually gave away a copy of Xenoblade Chronicles, the really rare one, a couple years ago to my friend John. Had I known, I could have traded that thing in for like $100. What are you going to do?
And Mario, which you didn't seem enthused about, and I wanted to stab you in
the neck.
And
that's the thing, like, Mario games with me, like, oh my god, it's so cool. The last Mario game I beat and really enjoyed was probably not New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, but I think it was the one with the cat people.
That's the Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that was fun. But honestly, Mario burned me out. With the Super Mario Galaxy, with all the gimmicky shit.
Well, this has looks like the gimmicky mini games that you get in like a Mario Party, but it feels and looks much more like Mario 64.
Yeah.
Doing the exploration, here's different environments. With 64, it was about going into paintings. With this Odyssey, it's about visiting, well, I don't really know.
Well, it was all weird. But this one, in the new trailer, I don't know if you saw it, they show like you go to the different worlds. And there's an overworld for everything, but within the overworld, there's paintings you jump into to go into different levels or different iterations of it. So they brought that aspect back with like secret levels and everything.
Well,
it's got my attention. It's not blown up my skirt per se.
Well, you like those amiibos.
I like those. Yeah, the amiibos for them, like the Wedding Mario, Wedding Peach, Wedding Bowser. If I'd gotten married now, guaranteed every nerd's gonna buy those. Guaranteed those things will be sold out fucking day one.
Cake toppers.
Exactly. They'll be cake toppers or stocking stuffers for holiday for 100%. I can only imagine, and I imagine they're gonna be like a 3-pack.
Or you take them into the bed with you in your first night?
Some nerd will, and you know this. Like, oh boy.
You're gonna get up in the ER, what happened? Got married, bed play. Yeah. Don't ask anything else.
I want to wash those.
I'm going to tap your amiibo or your field sensor.
Okay, we've retrieved Mario. We've retrieved Peach. Where's Spiky Bowser? That's why I'm here.
And that's the type of day it's been.
It has.
It has been that day. I'm trying to think, what else out of Nintendo Direct really kind of impressed? Oh, they're doing, you can get arcade classics. You get Mario, you get the original Donkey Kong. And I think those start rolling out next week, if I'm not mistaken. That's okay. You get Mario, Donkey Kong, Punch-Out.
Balloon fight.
Balloon fight, Clue Land, Ice Climbers. Yeah. All right, that's cool.
And just they
still no virtual console service.
No. You think they would announce this because they said it's supposed to launch in the fall? But
yeah, it's not.
It's not.
Launch
it's
now.
Gonna. It's not. What's going to happen is it's going to hit
push E3.
Yeah, what they're going to do is they're going to keep the online gaming free until then.
Yeah, that is my guess because the service just isn't. I don't know why Nintendo has such a problem with online gaming.
Well, they don't know. They just never actually developed for it.
Go grab a fucking developer from Microsoft. But they won't. Like, hey, asshole.
It's a... how do I put this? They're a very xenophobic company. They don't like outside sources. They don't really... They like selling to foreigners. They don't like foreign influence in their games. And that's just... It's how those Japanese multi corporations. A lot of them are like that.
Yeah.
They'll acquire companies and all this, but they like to handle everything in house. They don't like input from other companies. That's why it was so surprising that Ubisoft got to work with them on the Kingdom Battle game
on Rabbids. Yeah.
Which is amazing. I beat that shit. Beat it hard. Beat it.
Good game.
Done. Oh yeah. It's
system seller or just should be
system
in your
seller.
Really.
Huh. System seller.
Have you played XCOM? Would you compare it in any sort of
way? I've played only like a level of XCOM, and this was way, way, way more exciting to me.
Well, yeah, because it's a license I didn't think that would work, but on your recommendation, I'll probably check it out.
It's actually funny. Oh, that's the other game I still own. I didn't trade that in. Because I came with a season pass, too, so.
I'd be very curious to see what type of content they're going to have with that.
Another world, probably. Because there's only four worlds. Normally you get eight, right? So
yeah, in typical Mario.
Yeah, there's a grass world, which has other things. Then there's the ice world. And then there's the spooky world, which is like the haunted house stuff. And then there's a lava, which is like
Bowser's.
Yeah.
Okay. So it still follows the same sort of tropes as Mario.
Yeah, so the only thing that they didn't do was like sky. So
water.
Water was part of the grass one.
Okay.
So they didn't do anything like where you're based, I guess, hopping around in the air. And they didn't do like a giant world like they usually do. So there could be something like that.
It's still got potential. I mean, there's so many other titles in Mario to draw from that they could go down like deserts. And
yeah, there should be a desert world. You would think so anyway.
Yeah, and there was no Donkey Kong in the game.
Oh, he'll be DLC.
Like, all the player characters were like, yeah, we can talk about it now. There's Mario, the Rabbid Peach, Rabbid Luigi. Then Luigi and Peach themselves.
Hmm.
Then Rabbid Mario. Then Rabbid Yoshi and Real Yoshi. That's it. So I guess they didn't want to have a giant character sprite on the screen. But like, if I was thinking of it anyway, Toad is a plot device used in the game.
He's kind of slipped into that role in a lot.
It's like escort him across the map, and if he dies, the level's over. That sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to control him, but he doesn't get to attack or do anything.
Okay.
And that sucks.
I'm trying to think, is there anybody else? Oh, I guess they could introduce...
Lakitu?
Wario and Waluigi.
Yeah.
Probably Wario more than anything.
Yeah, Wario is a more more known character. Waluigi's only ever been kind of introduced.
Actually, you know what? If they're not going to do like a sky thing, how do you do that in a giant world? No, do Wario's mansion.
That'd be pretty cool.
Like
actually.
That's where maybe that's the expansion is you're helping him out and his family or whatever.
I'm sure there'll be something coming up in a further Nintendo Direct.
I want to talk a little bit about what wasn't in this Direct, and not to say that I was expecting it in there, but a lot of people that talk about these Nintendo Directs, every time Nintendo says, hey, we're going to talk about some stuff, listen in. You hear a lot of the same game names come up. Animal Crossing and Super Smash Brothers. And again, of course, nothing came up during this Nintendo Direct for those.
Why don't they just port it to Switch?
No F-Zero. No
F-Zero. Although they've mentioned Pokemon games, the only Pokemon mentioned in Nintendo Direct,
Pokemon
to my knowledge,
DX.
Was Pokken Tournament.
Yeah, no Star Fox.
So there's a lot of main titles, titles that haven't...
Nothing about the new Metroid yet?
Nothing about the new Fire Emblem they said was in development like over a year ago. So no Fire Emblem, nothing about the new Pokemon and that. They're probably just nothing. They're worried about marketing the Fire Emblem Heroes. No interest. Hyrule Warriors and all that stuff, it's no interest. I'm not a Dynasty Warriors type guy, so...
No, I got the Hyrule Warriors game. I played it for a while. It's fun, but...
Oh, and
I got it from my 3DS. So
no video of Dragon Quest XI, which is the one that's coming out.
Well, there was that Dragon World Builder or whatever.
Yeah, but that's already out on PS4.
Oh, okay. Well,
so like and we're not getting the MMO here, the Dragon Quest X, but 11 is being developed for the PS4 and that, and it's the kind of game that they've already got video of running with like a partial English translation that they're working on, and it's like as much as I would like to play on my PS4 Pro and play it in 4K, it's that cartoony style that doesn't need to be blown up to the big screen. I would much rather play a Dragon Quest game on a Nintendo console. So I don't know why they didn't even show that. Like, because it's been announced for the system. It's been announced for the West, too.
Maybe it just doesn't have enough significant development to announce anything new. Like, hey, here's this thing that we're going to announce with it. They just don't have it ready yet.
But what amazes me is that they're pushing that Octopath Traveler. Like I thought it was going to be pushed at the same level of like I Am Setsuna and that were like the indie Square Enix. Mm-hmm. No, they're pushing it like they would push a Final Fantasy. It had like an 8-minute demonstration, and it was the probably the third biggest aspect of this direct. It was that Mario, and the biggest one was they're really really pushing the Xenoblade game for Christmas because it comes out December 1st.
Got to make that money.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, and the one I was happy, every time they show that golf RPG, was it Golf Life or whatever it's called?
I'm curious.
It's an RPG where you meet town folk and go on missions, and how you complete the missions is golfing? Sure.
It's a motion controls thing?
Nope. No. It's a Super Nintendo graphics level RPG where you're golfing.
For the Switch?
Yes, exclusive. Not for any other system at all.
I don't know, you might have had me if it was on the 3DS.
Fuck no. There's got to be reasons to buy the Switch and use the Switch. I don't think, even though it's sprite graphics, I don't think the 3DS could pull it off because of the perspective and the resolution that you
Fair do. Enough, yeah.
Okay.
It would be very choppy looking. Can you imagine trying to look at a little ball flying across the screen on a little like 320 by 240 resolution screen? At least this is a full, somewhat HD screen, 720p.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of video games, me and Alex got a chance to check out something kind of cool today. Sort of first impressions, anyway. We got Project Cars 2 today from Bandai Namco, thanks to my good buddy Hiro over there. And we got a chance to fool around with this game. Now, full disclosure, I know nothing about cars.
I know nothing about cars. I do know a bit about the video games. I know about how they work in video games. I don't know how they work in real life because I do not have a driver's license.
Yeah,
Same here.
I've driven at speeds that fast and not legally. So that tells you about all the experience I have with it. But no, me and Alex were like fooling around with this game today. And while it's no Gran Turismo or Forza, it puts up a pretty damn good effort.
From what I saw, we're going to have to go more in depth and actually play it.
Yeah, because like we played it for like 2 hours today.
Yeah. And we tried doing like we tried breaking it as much as we could by like making it have the harshest road conditions with the weakest car to go on it, like literally a go-kart
on this ice track
on an ice track during a blizzard.
It was ridiculous. It was like real life Mario Kart.
You're just spinning out and sliding everywhere. You can't even play it. So we're like, okay, so the physics are supposed to be as realistic as possible, except you can't blow up your car or damage it. You can't really.
Your car gets dirty when you run over grass.
And you can damage your tires so they don't break as easily and stuff, and you have to go to the pit. And going into the pit takes like a minute.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be real time. So you can lose your entire lead and have to start over again. So you would not want to go into the pit unless you're doing like 200 laps.
Yeah. Or like basically like any racing simulator or any race-based game, you got to plan out your pit stops. Are you far enough ahead? Can you afford to do it? And it forces you to travel at pit speeds. Like, you're stuck at, like, 40 miles per hour till you get into the pit exit lane and go over. We played on one of the ice tracks in Canada. I think it's called Sampras. We played on the Indy 500. We did stuff on Daytona, I want to say.
Yeah, I tried going on the, was it the Texas race, whatever racetrack they have there, the circular one?
Yeah.
With a McLaren F1, which was dangerous and made me crash into everything because it can't turn large corners like that at full speed.
I did a Ford Mustang. Basically, like, I did Bumblebee.
Like 200 miles an hour. Like 200. That's like what? 350 kilometers an hour, something like that?
That's like what? Like Mach 1 almost?
Or 500 or 400. Like it's got to be over 400 and something kilometers per hour.
4. Isn't it like by 2.24 or something?
It's like land speed records are being broke on this track.
Like it was, like, it was miles 1.6.
1.6?
So 200 is 320.
Yeah, 320 kilometers per hour. So that is over three times the highway limit.
Jeez.
And it was and when you try to like put on the gas, it's very you could probably tweak a lot of it.
Yeah, because we played it with fairly smart AI. They smoked us every time.
Yeah.
But we're not racer guys. But coming in as a casual, if you don't own Forza or Gran Turismo, it's not a bad game, actually. No, like I said, I had fun with it.
Like first impression is it is Need for Speed meets Dirt meets it's basically trying to take a simulator like Forza or Gran Turismo and then adding the arcadey elements of some of the other games.
Hmm. It's got a really kick-ass photo mode.
I was going to say it's a very balanced game. It's a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Like we had a really fun time. I was playing around with the photo mode. You can adjust aperture length. You can adjust the f-stop.
Talk about chubbing up. You were just like, oh, look what I can do. Oh,
I was like, holy.
Look.
Well, I was so impressed with like how much. Because like I had my aperture was set to f-16, so I let in the most light I possibly could. My shutter speed was 1.2, which doesn't really matter.
Oh, God.
Photography nerd, shut up.
On an audio podcast.
Which I could plug my friend John Meadows for his My Photography podcast. But that's not here nor there. He's in Toronto. You should look him up. Good guy. But no, I was really impressed with how much you could do with the photos. I think there's a video editor I haven't had a chance to play around with yet. But I was impressed. And the fact that you could look into the cars, you could see what was on the radio. Like, you could zoom right into the console. I thought that was really, really, really sweet.
It was Nickelback, so I almost threw the game in the garbage.
Give it back.
That's what we assume. But no, like, I was seriously impressed with it. So, like I said, first impressions are good.
Yeah, well, we'd have to really take a chance to play everything. We just played quick matches.
Yeah. It seems like they want to put some kind of an e-sport.
There was a whole e-sport section. Like, are you dying?
No, I'm just really tired all of a sudden.
I thought you were ready to sneeze like six times, and I keep looking and almost stuttering because I'm like, is he going to sneeze? Is he going to blow? Is he going to...
But yeah, they have this whole section dedicated to esports, so when this game has a full online community, I'll be very interested to see what happens with it. Do I expect a full esports league to come up around it? Truthfully, no.
Maybe in Europe,
yeah, because I can see the racing scene being a lot more popular over there. Like I said, because over here, the two names of the game are Gran Turismo and Forza, and they've got better name recognition.
I'm going to see where it's developed first and foremost. If it's like Poland or someplace, they may even have like a government-funded team or league open up, because a lot of times they'll do that for tax benefits.
Yeah. Sure, I'm just really, really tired all of a sudden. But no, I mean, like, overall, though, like I said, I was fairly impressed with it. They also have, like, you can set all your different stats, set your name and, like, your online handle, which you come to expect with certain levels of customization. You couldn't apply decals like you could in Forza, like, where you could change what your car looked like. But they have all the classic wraps there. There's like a Monster energy drink Formula One racer. You can change different paint schemes. Like I said, mine was the Transformers Bumblebee, though not officially Bumblebee, which I think is a missed opportunity with a license. But I could see why they maybe don't want to pay out for that.
So it's developed by Slightly Mad Studios in the UK. So possible that if it comes out there and gets widespread appeal, there could be something in... Well, Europe's got... It seems like they're getting more esports than we are.
Well, yeah, because we're all shooters over here or MOBA. Like, we're League of Legends, Hearthstone, COD,
and, like, FIFA
Halo,
and Pro
Overwatch.
Evolution Soccer are big over there.
Yeah.
And there's that... The geography of Europe is a lot easier to have national teams compete with each other without a lot of logistics.
Everybody just
flying.
Everybody literally just hops on a train
and just
goes for like 2 hours and they're in another country.
Yeah, so it's so much more affordable to run a league in Europe setting than it is to have people fly from Korea to America and back and forth over and over to do these tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm really hoping this game does well, all things considered, because, like I said, it's nice to have some competition out there that isn't Forza, because as much as I love Forza, I don't like the super simmy aspects of it. I like the more Forza Horizon
and
games.
I've played both, and Gran Turismo I've always liked more as far as a pure sim, but you wait 5-6 years between the games now.
Yeah.
So like,
whereas Forza is on like a yearly cycle now.
It's like 1 year is one version, then the second year is the arcadey one, the next year is the sim, the next year is the arcade. So, and also being that each of those are only on one console, this opens up maybe a better chance at esports because it's cross-platform on PC and on the two major consoles.
Yeah. So those are our initial thoughts on Project Cars 2 from Bandai Namco. Thanks for hooking us up for that. Speaking of cross-platform, I saw this story. This just came out today. You guys have heard of the game Fortnite, right? That another kind of a battle royale game?
Yeah. You build up your shelter and then attack each other?
You build up a shelter and defend it against waves of zombies and other
players.
Creatures and potentially other players at times.
Yeah, and the main reason I bring that up today as kind of a story to mention is between this past weekend for a few hours, due to a quote-unquote configuration error, Xbox One players were playing with PS4 players.
See?
And Sony, or not Sony, the developer for Fortnite's like, oh yeah, that was a configuration issue. It's a bug.
Bullshit.
But we want that as a feature.
Bullshit. It's a bug that allows cross-platform play without any barriers. Oh, I thought that was impossible.
Yeah, I mean, look at Rocket League. Like, they can do that. Like, because Killer Instinct allows cross-platform play between Xbox and Windows.
I think it sometimes has to do with how their licensing goes with each company.
And networking code of the game.
Yeah.
Like
Rocket League is designed from the ground up to be a competitive play game, built on the PC first. So is it really that hard to just run the servers for everything?
It's because Sony doesn't want to play nice, for whatever reason. And Sony, let's just come out and say it, they're dominating. They are the number one system. They consistently outsell Xbox. They obviously have a humongous lead on Nintendo. They are the console. I'm an Xbox loyalist, but that's just because I prefer the interface. But still,
because I prefer the interface on the PlayStation.
I don't know. I just find Xbox just so much cleaner. But
no, I find it confusing and hard to find anything.
I guess I've been an Xbox.
The cross media bar is just. It's there simple. Or it's not.
Exactly. Okay, here's my category, and then here's everything in that category.
And pressing the close button to go out to the main menu should mean the top of the menu is everything's closed, not you keep going back in and out of something that you just used. That's stupid.
I don't know. I guess I just like the online, or the not so much the online. I like voice easier on Xbox. I love parties
easier.
I
would never use voice. That means it's listening to what I'm doing at any given time.
Yeah, I'm probably one of the few people who actually still uses their Kinect for Cortana.
Didn't they remove that port from the new systems?
No, it still works here.
No, so, I mean, didn't they remove it from
Kinect,
the SIM?
Yeah.
You can't even use it.
Well, you can use it, you just have to buy it separate.
No, like, I don't think it has a port on the back of the system.
I'll look it up.
You probably have to have an adapter to make it work.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's still there. I don't know, look it up.
All right. It was popular for a while. I don't see why they completely remove it.
I think the problem is with Kinect, it never had the must-have game other than Dance Central. Yeah. And even then, its tracking was spotty. I mean, they tried with Steel Battalion. They tried with the Fighters Uncaged. There was the Dragon Ball game. And just, it never had its killer app. And I don't see them doing necessarily another Dance Central anytime soon just to sell a $100 peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of why, you know, the peripheral based games died out.
Yeah, and now VR being
you have to buy an adapter. It doesn't. They removed support entirely.
Oh wow!
So you have to get a USB adapter that probably costs you a ridiculous amount of money.
That's insane.
Yeah, but now VR is kind of taking away the niche appeal that the Kinect had before. So why would I get a Kinect when I could just completely immerse myself?
Why would I do that when I can spend $700 on another VR?
If you're going to go with an accessory that you really don't need, like, VR has got so much more it can offer than the Kinect can.
But
The price is not to be ignored, I'll admit.
If I'm spending, like, although let's say I'm going out and I'm going to get an Xbox One X, the Scorpio, whatever.
The new
so
one,
if
yeah.
I, in Canadian. If I'm going to pay Canadian $700 plus tax for that, and then whatever VR compatibility is another $700 or so, and I have to have, you know, decent TV and everything or whatever hooked up, and you have to have all that stuff, and you have to have storage and blah, blah, blah. If you're spending $1,500, it
just
better
buy an Oculus Rift.
It better have sex with me for that kind of money. Like it, I'm serious. Like
I always think of that line crazy. From Time Cop, where the one guy's like, "Ricky, if I catch you fucking this machine again,
yeah, no, like
I totally agree with you. For that price, it better fuck you.
It better play with my wiener whenever I want for that kind of money."
You know, I used to think I was the vulgar one on this show.
I'm not being vulgar. I
met Alex.
I didn't say suck my dick.
Just suggestive.
Suggestive, yes. But yeah, like for that kind of investment, I mean, even the like HTC Vive or the Oculus Rift, or even although VR, I don't know. I want it to be cool, but I'm not spending that kind of money. I'm not going out and getting a PlayStation VR. I don't care.
Can't you buy like a real doll for that price?
Well,
so
see,
that will
the only there are two VR games I want to try. The Rick and Morty experience. No, okay, sorry, there are three. Rick and Morty, Ghostbusters, Star Wars.
If you're going to try those, you know what you do? You go, I don't know if they have a location in Guelph yet, but Waterloo has one or two. Ah,
that could have been catastrophic.
Maybe don't kick the table. you go to Control V, the VR arcade.
There is one in Guelph.
You pay, they opened up in Waterloo first. You pay $20, and that gives you, I think, a couple hours of play. So it's like an arcade. But you go there, and you don't have to have the rig or anything, and they've got it all set up. They even have rooms that are, you know, suited for it, lounging areas for the sit-down ones, rooms that have, like, walking around areas that you're not going to hit anything or hurt yourself or do anything in. And it's all set up, configured for you. And then you don't have to invest, like, several hundred dollars on these pieces of equipment.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about having room in your house to do it.
Yeah, because with the HTC Vive, I know you have to have the sensors
so,
up in like a 10
so
by
for
10
your birthday
or something,
just go to one of the VR arcades.
I'll maybe give it a try. Like I said, I'm still waiting for the VR game to be like, oh, wow. Because I remember when Steve Saylor, friend of the show, did VR for the first time, and he thought it was super cool because he's like partially blind. And he was like, wow, this is really neat.
This is what it's like to see.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. And that's how he described it.
Oh, really?
Or something akin to that. He was pretty blown away by it. But I've played older VR games, and I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I think that's the problem. I've been in the games industry for over 10 years now. I'm just so tired.
Dude.
It takes so much to wow me now.
I saw a better VR experience when I was 8 in 1995 at the CNE. When before it became like a car show building, one of the buildings where they have like Ford sponsors now.
Yeah,
it used to be an expo where they showed off the newest video games and arcade games coming out.
That's
so you
cool.
So you pay to go there, you pay to go to the CNE and you get to play like I got to play like Tasmania before anybody else did. There was like arcade games.
That's where I tried Virtual Boy.
Well, when I was there, they had a joint thing with the Ontario Science Center. And there was a lineup was too big at the CNE, so I went to the Science Center to play it. They had the Sega VR set up where you stood,
oh, the activator.
Where you walked in, you stepped on this platform. It was like a giant moving, I
ring.
Guess, black rig ball thing that you stood on. And as you walked, you could walk in any direction and in place. And you had a helmet on, you had a gun on, and you basically were in like a Tron shooting game. I played that when I was like 8, and it was better than what's out there now.
Yeah, like the big VR games right now that are they're pumping out as the hype is Skyrim VR and Fallout 4 VR, basically the Bethesda titles.
I think the reason this worked is it was simple polygons. It was, oh, like that equipment had to be like they had security guards and Toronto police officers standing there. It was like $100,000 worth of prototype equipment.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, but because it was simple colors and primary shapes, mm-hmm. there was no disconnect in your brain of this texture doesn't look 100% real, so it feels weird to me.
See, yeah.
It felt like I was in Tron, or it felt like I was in that Simpsons episode where he goes into the
real world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not in the Uncanny Valley. It's so far on the other
side.
Yeah,
it was so far cartoony
not.
That I felt like I was in the cartoon. I played that, and the other thing they had there was, what's the name of it? It was like a Pokemon battle card thing. It was that was like 94, 95.
Monster Rancher.
No, it had like this. I'm holding up my phone. I know people can't hear when I'm listening, but it was like a battle base, and you each had your own cards, and you'd swipe your cards through it like you would a credit card reader.
And I know what you mean.
And it would display, and they would fight on the screen, and then so however you could level up your cards, and however it would determine it, you would win. And they let me play like a bunch of times. It was the coolest thing ever at the time, I thought, because it had a visual representation of what was on the card happening on like a primitive LCD screen. Okay. And they said, it's coming out in the fall. And fuck no, it never came out anywhere. So I got to play that. That was neat.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it was called.
I don't know. Like, there's something about VR, especially when I look at a game like Fallout 4, which is so story-based, and building up your settlement. I cannot imagine in VR trying to build, like... Tristan, have you ever played Fallout 4?
Yes, I have.
Can you imagine trying to build a settlement, picking up a piece of wood or rubber and fuck off?
It turns it into work.
Imagine the nightmares you'd have playing like Resident Evil, or what's that game where you're trying to escape a crazy hospital?
Silent Hill?
No.
Try Amnesia.
It's the one where Manhunt? Like the one where like you can hide and like the doctor tries to find you and stuff and tears at you.
See, I know Resident Evil 7 in VR was quite the experience.
But like,
I know there's a game that's called Amnesia. You can't fight back. You just have to hide and not be caught.
That might be it. It's like very 3D in your first-person perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that could be
fun. Like, you wake up in like a hospital where this doctor's like mangling bodies and stuff.
You know what game I just thought of we haven't heard anything since E3 about? That Call of Cthulhu game. It's getting near October, too.
How about Vampire? Or Vampyr?
Although, I did think of one game. There's been some news about it because its physical release is literally less than a month away now. Friday the 13th. They've announced the Spring Break DLC, but they've also announced Jason Part 4, the Jarvis House, and I think Roy from Part 5 will be a playable Jason as well.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited for that because I don't have it on the PlayStation 4.
Is it going to work?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. The game works great on PC, on the consoles, because of the certification process for patches. It's so slow.
Yeah.
Because I used to have this group of friends I played with, like my friend Jamie, her boyfriend, and all of them. We used to play every night for like a month solid. I got to level 27. I haven't picked it up in like a month, which sucks, because I used to play that every night, and it was such a fun time. It's very rare you get a cooperative experience game like that, where if you don't work together, you're fucked. And Friday the 13th forced you to work together. But people leveled out. Like, you could reach level 100 in the game, and they randomly just start killing each other. They would either help Jason, or I can turn around and kill you with a shotgun. And then they took out that ability in the game. So people were being toxic because they were being bored.
You know, like, this just reading into the whole Nintendo having their Direct, what other games are coming out? Like, it looks like everybody is going to buy Assassin's Creed.
South Park.
South Park.
COD.
COD. Mm-hmm. Mario. And I think that's... Oh, and then maybe those of us that are going to buy, like, Xeno.
Yeah.
Those are technically...
That's it until after Christmas.
Not niche, but cult-following sort of game.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, well, they're Nintendo's trying to push it like...
I think Gundam
like
Versus is going to sell well.
They traditionally haven't.
I don't know. It's a Gundam fighting game. I think it'll be different.
It is, but that's like the One Piece games. They still make them, even though they don't really sell...
I don't know. They've got a pretty dedicated community.
They have a dedicated thing, but it's not a AAA, like, everybody... Yeah. It's not everybody's rushing out to buy it game. You're rushing out. Like, it's in the similar vein as Xeno, only Xeno's probably going to... sell better because it's
a Switch title.
The Switch is trying to fill the gap of PlayStation has been putting out a lot of shitty JRPGs. They've got all those games from
what was that weird one we saw today?
Oh, the
sexy shooter.
The titty water in the vajayjay jiggle.
Yeah, there's this weird game, Tristan. I'll describe it a little less fucked up than he did.
It's water. They get water shot up their vajayjay, and then they're like, oh, and they jiggle, and they have panty shots and stuff.
I'd like to point out Nintendo listens to this.
I'd like to point out that this is being released on an actual console.
That's true. But yeah, it's so weird. You're not shooting water up their genitals.
That's
but
what's like happening.
It's fan service. It's fan service.
The entire game. It's a water gun battle at a water park with girls in bikinis and their boobs and butts jiggle.
Yeah, it's
Is it like you're at the fairgrounds and you're shooting the clowns with the water hose?
Yes. Not exactly. No, like you're running. It's thing of it Splatoon, but with water guns.
Jiggle physics and jiggle physics.
Yeah,
and like the girls fall to the ground and the camera will pan up and the girls will go oh and they'll cross their legs as you get close.
Or
to the
they'll cover their chest and be like, I don't want to be defeated. Teehee.
And I'm like, wow. That's a full release game. It's like Senen Kagurbata, blah 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 blah.
Senku Gugu or something.
I was gonna say like I'm not trying to say anything bad about it so that they wouldn't give it to you if you wanted to get a game to play it as a review. But like, I don't know how that's a like.
I don't get how that's a genre.
What is the fan base of a game like that?
Yeah, like it's like.
Well,
it's like those sexy games on Steam. It's not a hentai game.
No.
It's not an actual porn game from Japan.
It's just sexy.
But it's, I guess it would be like the Dead or Alive beach volleyball crowd, only, yeah.
But there's an actual volleyball game built in there.
Yeah, there's actually a sport underlying.
As opposed to this is like, I'm going to be sexy devil girl with a scythe putting out a fire with a water gun.
I think it's part of a series. There's been other games released on like, I think it's Vita and stuff, where it's like.
Same thing, but it's
beach volleyball or dodgeball or something. It's all part of a genre is like sexy girl jiggle physics games. And I look at it and I go, I've seen everything I need to see from the trailer and go, why would anybody actually play that?
I'd be curious to play it for an hour.
It would be really hilarious to review because it could actually be a fun game to play as a party game.
Yeah, it just looks stupid. That's
so again, I'm not trying to badmouth it because we haven't actually played it, but it's. I look at that and I go...
It looks goofy as hell.
When we saw the preview and it goes, mature for sexual blah, 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 and listening to all this stuff, and I'm like, what, is this a Rockstar game? No, it's not a Rockstar game.
Yep.
It's not The Witcher. It's not...
Nope, it's girls shooting each other with balloons. And,
if you want to look it up for more information, how do you Google that?
I don't even know how we found it. It just came up after Nintendo Direct.
No, because I had opened up different game trailer things that I subscribed to.
Oh, okay.
And it showed up as one of the I think official Sony releases. So, yeah, Sony, really? Sony, they're almost getting into Wii territory where they're just putting any crap they can.
Well, that and you can import stuff for the console and they don't care.
But this is officially licensed for North America.
Yeah,
and it comes with a collector's edition with like a bazillion things with it. It reminds me of that Xbox 360 game that I got when I worked at EB Games that came with the boob mouse pad that was a shooter game.
Was it Death Smiles or whatever?
Yes. I have the mouse pad somewhere else because it was actually a pretty good mouse pad and the boobs actually were good for your wrist.
The game was good too.
Yeah.
It was a good shooter.
But like it also came with that one came with a pillowcase of like half naked girls on it and I was like I don't know what,
you know what the
to
weirdest one I saw in it, and it was not a Japanese game. Well, maybe I don't know. The game was called Catherine, and the collector's edition had boxer shorts and a body pillow, or like a body pillow case or something.
Okay,
itself was pretty solid.
It was hard.
It had some strange vibes to it. I guess.
Yeah, it was really weird. It's a game bizarre. I wish I beat, but I really enjoyed it though. For what it was. Wow, we've talked about video games for almost an hour, guys. Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find that title. What the hell is it called?
I pop on my Xbox and look, but I don't want to blow the breaker.
No.
Because it is hotter. It's fucking September. Fuck off, Heat.
Go down. It's September
it's hotter,
something or other.
It's hotter in September now than it was in August. Again.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Ugh, I hate it.
Oh, it's... Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash. That's a real title.
That's a thing.
With a collector's edition with lots of weird crap that you get with it.
I'm not going to try and get this.
That is not a $10 game. That is a $80 or like $100 game with the collector's edition.
If you happen to be one of the listeners who actually gets this, Mike at thisweekingeek.net. I'm curious. Give me your review of it. I'll read it on the show.
I'm fully expecting that it advertises one-handed play.
You know what? In this day and age, it truly wouldn't surprise me.
You control the movement with the left stick, and then you control the squirt with the thing, so you can have one hand in your pants. Why else is that game made?
I don't know. I can't figure out why there's half of the sex games on Steam. Well, like, but they're dating.
Well, here's the thing. At least if you release a sex game and you market it as a sex game, it's a sex game. And
yeah,
you're
people
buying
know what they're going
like
to expect.
This sexy is, Call of Duty. This
they're trying to go AAA stylings and
like this. This game has no purpose. It's not a sexy enough game to be a sex game.
And it's not a good enough shooter to be a shooter.
It's like, and it's rated mature, so it obviously won't be sold to like a 12-year-old that wants to get a sex game that can't.
Yeah.
So who
we
is
should
this
ask
for?
Our friends who work in the gaming industry? Like, all right, how many of these have you sold to young kids?
Oh, dude. When I worked there years ago, it wasn't not to young
no
teenagers. Not to young teenagers. Well, I guess now they're old enough. Yeah, it was kids that wanted to buy them. Kids,
I'm not surprised.
Kids and like
creepy old men.
Guys in their 40s that lived with their parents but didn't live with their parents to help their parents. They lived with their parents because their parents had to help them still because they never grew up. I don't
not
know how
that
to,
we're judging.
No, we're judging. Like people,
just the,
people
the
that people that like literally that was the same pattern I saw every time when people came in.
Yeah,
it's like there's a certain type of person that wants those games, and
not that there's anything wrong with that. Party
no.
on.
No.
But is there enough of that type of person?
That's what I'm.
Really,
no, there really,
see, that's the,
no,
guess,
there isn't.
I guess there has to be.
Well, here's the thing. Like that's the stereotype, right?
Yeah.
The guy lives. Well, but it's like there's really not that many people like that.
No, not that to that level. At least not to the level where you'd need a game like that to exist.
No. No.
Let alone at the price point of $80.
Yeah, and you know what's sad or not sad? Maybe that's not the right word. Somebody went to school for this. Somebody paid money.
Well,
somebody
here,
has a diploma on a wall, and they say, what did you work on? Sexy water gun fight.
Peach battle. No, you know what?
That's my first game.
Make
I
your
shipped.
Money any way you can. Go
I guess
ahead.
That's
do,
true,
do
yeah.
whatever. If you like it, you like it. I'm not judging anybody that likes it. I just don't know who it's for.
Yeah.
Someone out there in,
like,
in
if
this
I'm gonna,
audience
if
knows.
I'm going to gank it, get real porn.
It's cheaper. It's free for the most part.
It's true.
Yes.
Or it's on Steam.
Yes.
Through Early Access or Greenlight
or
whatever.
Get a real significant other.
It's true.
Or we'll go right back to that real doll thing.
Yes.
Exactly.
Get something purpose-built for it. Don't get something that's willy-nilly in between. Anywho, we can move on from this.
Say,
this
now
is,
we're just getting
this
weird.
This is just spiraling into this.
Getting
yeah.
weird.
It sure is.
I don't know. We've been talking for almost an hour. Do we... what else do we have to talk about?
I'm going to see because we had a bunch of stuff. We can skim over it.
Nintendo's been such a topic. I'll briefly mention that the Super Nintendo Entertainment System Classic, this NES Classic, is
they're promising more supply.
Yes, they're going to be coming out with quite a bit more of them. They're going to continue producing them into next year. Before they were scheduled to cease production at the end
is
of
that
2017.
The SNES or is that
the SNES?
Yeah,
the SNES
I heard the NES Classic was being put.
That is also
that
coming
too.
Back in
okay.
2018.
Okay.
So they're going to increase production for the SNES and then bring the NES back as well.
I think
there's
Reggie,
so much demand.
I think even Reggie had come out and said, "Don't pay more than $80 for this thing." There's going to be a shit ton more.
I ended up with two different NES Classics. One I gave to my dad for Father's Day. Or it was supposed to be his birthday gift, but...
It is what it is.
It was an everything gift because it was so hard to find. and like his, we found it... I randomly found it at EB GameStop. It's like, is that a display box? Because it has a price tag on it. Like, nope. Giving.
Mine.
And it was the only one that they had shipped into town like for weeks. I got it. And then like 2 weeks later, I found one on Amazon that popped up. Amazon Canada. Bought it, and then the next day they said, we ceased production.
That's insane.
So I was like, oh! And there's no way. I didn't get a SNES, but I might have a chance to get
it. We
this
thought
really.
About it. I mean, we have a chance because of people that we know.
I was going to say, like, they're scalping for $300 and it's not even out yet. Don't do that because you could potentially buy three or four of those.
Yeah, they're going to keep producing them. They understand. They're starting to understand, it seems, that people want these things like crazy.
But the more I hear about it, the more I'm thinking I just want to go MAME. Or not MAME. I want to go Raspberry Pi and just have everything.
Yeah,
I'm willing to buy the games. I'm just not willing to buy the bullshit that goes with it.
Well, it shouldn't be this hard to play the games that I want to play in this case.
And the fact that the Super Nintendo Classic only has 21 games on it, as cool as it might be to play Star Fox, whatever,
two.
I want to play Turtles in Time. I want Chrono Trigger.
Well,
I want Sunset Riders.
I want some of the ones that, like... There's fan there's fan translations out there for years. People have hacked in. Why don't they just? I mean, technically, everything that a fan translator has done is not their property. even if they may think it is their translation. No. And the fact that they altered somebody else's game without consent and hacked into it to do it means by default it's illegal. It's not a gray area. It's illegal. We all don't care about it. We all play translated games anyway. Nobody really cares. Nintendo, even, like, why don't they just go, okay, we're going to release it with this translation on it. You can't challenge it in court and just go, you know, maybe put credit in there saying thanks to it. The person gets no money, but then they get a reputation for being a good translator. What would be, what the harm be of just reappropriating it and releasing, you know, let's say some of the, it would have to be, it wouldn't be like,
it would set some kind of a legal precedent they probably don't want to fuck with.
Yeah, but it would only be in the benefit of everybody. Or if they instead of hacking it themselves, because they have the source codes, presumably if they properly preserved everything, just take that script and run off the English translation. Because the hardest part a lot of times is actually just translating it.
Yeah, because so, it's just basically just resources. It's a guy.
So just having somebody who's really well-versed so that and goes through thousands of pieces of script, take that script, because you can easily just look at the script, alter it to whatever they want, whatever their design is that they feel they need. Cat's trying to jump up on me, and it was going to hurt.
No, Ayla.
She's got claws. But yeah, like there's so many things they could do. And people are saying that the hacked fit or the finished version of Star Fox 2 that's coming out on the SNES, it's an identical ROM of
no, supposedly it is a little bit different.
We'll see when somebody gets the system and they do a teardown.
Yeah.
It's too similar.
Yeah, I imagine we'll have a teardown. Well, that thing's coming out in like a week.
Yeah, September 29th, I believe.
Yeah, so in like a week and change, we'll find out for sure.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, like, there's just keeping in line with Nintendo. This is the Nintendo topic show this week.
No, this is like your discount prototype, which we almost could label that as this. It's nerd type proto news.
Well, I think there's an article Ars Technica came out with saying that every Nintendo Switch appears to contain a hidden copy of
NES Golf or something, which I think that's
hilarious. So people are hacking into it and finding that the game's already in there.
With motion controls, too.
It was probably used as a testing demo. Well, because the ports and everything, the reason those third-party controllers didn't work initially when
they were locked out.
Well, because, they thought they could just use, because the hardware was based on the Wii. And then it turns out they had done some stuff to lock out the old hardware. So it's probably just it was a prototype Wii board that they were using, and they probably left the ROM on there to...
Just to test.
Yeah. So there's that. And I was thinking... If they were going to come up with something... The N64 would be the next logical system, people are saying, to release as a mini console.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
But the problem is you have, at that point, a significant jump in technology... To be able to produce it, like it would be like a $250 system, to be able to emulate everything properly.
I'd much rather see a GameCube mini. Won't happen.
No. I was thinking, you do a Game Boy, an actual Game Boy, like make it the screen size of
make it a real Game Boy.
Yeah,
put a shit ton of games on it.
Make it a Game Boy Color, and have it just be a ton of Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, and you could make that thing. You could make that thing the size of a cell phone.
That's a pretty good idea.
And then throw an HDMI port out on it. Hmm. So you could just keep it on the screen.
And play it with like a Bluetooth controller.
Yeah.
That's a really smart idea.
And that is dirt cheap. It's an 8-bit CPU. You could produce those things for $10, $15. Well, no, you have to have an LCD screen. So production costs $25.
But how do you do multiplayer games?
Most of the Game Boy games weren't multiplayer.
But I'm talking like Pokemon.
A Game Link cable stuff.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to do that. You just don't include that capability. Like, the Super Nintendo SNES Classic is coming with Secret of Mana. I don't think it's coming with four-player support.
Yeah, it's coming with two wired controllers. I'm pretty sure they're just going to be
hardwired. Yeah, and that game was a four-player game. So...
They needed multi-tap. That bar. Yeah, the multi-tap.
They could do something, whatever, or whatever. But still, you could just do a Game Boy one, and that would be way cheaper for them to produce. And I know that that does introduce the whole idea of there's another portable console on the market, but not if you can release it for $50.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's already shown that they're willing to do this virtual console and the NES Classic. It's NES Classic.
Here's 50 Game Boy games for $50.
They won't do it that cheap.
No, but or here's 50 Game Boy games for $79.99. Or not 50. It would be 30 games. Like they're standard.
Yeah, they won't go as high
here's
as 30, 50.
Here's 30 games for $79. And you include your Marios, your Wario World, all that, or Wario's Land and all that. And then, because they're licensing them, throw in, you know, Final Fantasy, Legend 3, throw in Pokemon, throw in, I'm trying to think what other...
If throw you go, in, like, Pokemon, one of the, something obscure, one something that wasn't really
you'd
released.
Have to, well, they would throw in Pokemon Yellow, because that's an easier one, it has a bit of everything in it.
Yeah, like Pokemon Green or whatever it was from the first generation that
yeah.
didn't really happen.
You throw that out there, you throw out Tetris, and you throw out... Gargoyle's Quest and Metroid. They might not put Metroid on there because the new Metroid for the 3DS is just a remake of that game. But
it's a solid idea.
Yeah.
And
I like
it's in the vein of what they're already doing, so I could see it actually
dirt
happening.
Cheap. Dirt cheap. So I would say that's probably it for Nintendo talk.
Yeah, but say all I got is a haunted doll. And the Punisher, but realistically, I could save both those stories for next week.
Well, I was going to say, like, TV hasn't really started up yet, and there's always time for haunted stuff as we get closer to...
Yeah, at Halloween.
Yeah,
Halloween's coming. The story got weird, so definitely going to want to talk about
it.
It's
getting weird.
All I hear is Justin's voice doing that now from Terrible Warriors. He is the virtual Mr. Meeseeks.
I'm Mr. Ecock. Look at me.
Can do. We love you, Justin, if you ever happen to listen to this. Oh, my God. He's going to hate us. He's going to wonder, why does everybody call me Mr. Meeseeks now?
No, he's just Mr. Ecock.
Mr. Ecock.
Look at me.
Oh, buddy, we love you. But anyway, yeah, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the show. So like I said, big thanks to Bandai Namco for hooking us up with Project Cars 2. We'll have a full review in like a week or two. Next week on the show, I will have a review of Warner Brothers' Wonder Woman. Going to be watching that on Blu-ray. And then after that, I should have a review of Metroid 2, Samus Returns, as I just got a copy of the new one.
Neat.
So looking forward to playing that.
Very cool.
And we've got Marvel vs. Capcom coming out as of this recording tonight. So Alex should have this up by, I'm presuming, Wednesday. So
probably.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, hopefully you guys have had a really good time. We always appreciate you hanging out with us on Facebook, on Twitter, at thisweekingeek.net. You can email me because we never did get the one show email working properly. So just Mike at thisweekingeek.net. You can always comment on the website. Once again, hopefully we'll be joined by TFG1 Mike when he decides to return from Chicago. But hey, he's having a great time out there. So we wish him a long deserved rest. That kid is the superhero of podcasting. I can think of nobody else more deserving than him. Take a break. Have some pizza, which caused a 10-minute discussion.
Don't start that again.
Not going to start that again.
It's not pizza. Call it shepherd's pie that tastes like pizza.
Chicago-style deep dish.
Shepherd's pie-styled pizza.
Or
poor man's lasagna.
Poor man's lasagna. All right there, guys. So for This Week in Geek, we have been...
The man of few words, Mr. Tristopher.
Alex, the producer.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodds, and live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on thisweekingeek.net, and big thanks to the GeekCast Radio folks over at geekcastradio.com.
Big dicks in your ass are bad for your health.
Oh, my.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
No, 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 sir. I have seen the mountaintops, and they are glorious.
You could go to sleep on top of them and be comfy.
Wait. Say that again, slowly.
Tristan, Andrew, Donald, William, Winkworth.
Tadworth.
It's a good thing you're not British, because you would almost be entitled to a crown.
Man, whoa, man, we had the best Chinese food. Tristan, have you had Double Dragon in this town?
I have not.
Holy Christ, dude, you can get a goddamn gigantic, like, takeout container. $5 and you can fill the
thing. And it's not, like, make yourself sick garbage either. Yeah, it's actually good quality. Stuff. So what it is you go in for the takeout, they have, like, 12 items you can pick from, and the first item is $2. And they put it in one of those big, gigantic French fry containers, like the styrofoam ones.
Yeah.
And so it's $2. And each additional item that you add to it, and they'll keep piling it on, is an additional $1 for each item. Up to, I think, till you hit 8 items, and after that, it like, won't fit.
Yeah, but so, yeah, good luck closing it.
And so, if you just, like, if you really were hungry and didn't have a lot of money, for $2, you could get a giant thing of, like, chicken fried rice, or pork fried noodles.
And they'll
noodles.
Stuff it.
Yeah.
And they'll probably even give you, like, a chicken ball.
And the little lady there, she's like, oh, yum, 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 I don't speak English, blah, 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 here's your food.
Insert offensive item right here.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not putting them up to it. They just keep talking about me.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show?
So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes the pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.